lots of people feel now, this kind of great optimism. There is some apprehension, like what's going to happen? We're a little unsure of the future, but the truth is that almost anything would be better than what they had, and I think a lot of people realize that. And so I think the major change that I've noticed is just this kind of change in the attitude of people. They want something different, and they think Fox can give it to them. They're willing to wait a little while at least to see that he's at least working towards that. And the more he shows that he is, I think the more chance they'll give him to do it.
President Fox is the first president since 1929, since the creation of the Free Party, that isn't from the Free Party. What did Free represent? What kind of politics did it stand for?
The Free represented the great officialist tendency in Mexican society. It's a tendency that has an excessive respect for power, a deference toward position and money. He defeated that primarily, I believe. His defeat of the PRI was a defeat of what had been part of Mexican society since the creation, essentially, of Mexico, which was this officialist concept of the president as kind of God, almost, the mayors and governors as kind of princes. When he won, Mexican society was saying, we've had enough of the abuse of these people. And for the first time, it was kind of holding accountable those people who have always been in power in Mexico.
How did Free manage to hold on to power for so long?
Well, it's a complicated thing, but they created a system very similar to, I like to compare it to Tammany Hall. If you think of the PRI as a nationwide Tammany Hall, you understand Mexico under the PRI. They created a system in which they understood that, unlike, say, the Nazis or the communists in Russia, that ideology was irrelevant, that what they really needed to do was basically buy people off. It was this entire system based on the concept that every man has his price. And in a poor country, it's not really that high. And so what they did was essentially create an entire system using their power as government to just buy people off. And this they did by in a million different ways. They could offer a radical a professorship. They could offer a poor person a piece of land that wasn't his. They could offer a bureaucrat an opportunity to break the law with impunity. All of this created a kind of a system of interests and collusion that was extremely strong for many, many years, and only lost power once that same system couldn't create the wealth that allowed the PRI to buy people off anymore.
In your book, you write about meeting the director of the National Association of Private Schools, and you were looking for some leads and some phone numbers for a story that you were doing. Tell us what he asked for in return.
Well, I went there kind of very wide-eyed, as an American journalist would, hoping for comments, you know, and some names and numbers of private schools so I could do a story on how rough it was for the private schools. He had something else entirely in mind. He asked me for 500 pesos for this information, and I couldn't understand why he would ask me for that. And so I said, well, and he explained, well, the problem is it's very hard to open up our database, and it's going to cost 500 pesos to open up our database, which I couldn't believe at all. There was a computer right there. I could have probably opened it up myself. But the idea was that I didn't really know where I was, and I was in the middle at that moment. It was very early in my time in Mexico. Of the PRI regime. The PRI regime was made up of three pillars of support: the campesinos, the small farmers, the unions, and then this place where I was, which is the organization of the Confederation of Popular Organizations, taxi cab drivers, small businessmen. One of those organizations was the Association of Private Schools. And this man's job was not to make critical comments about the economic situation and how it affected the private schools. It was to essentially support whatever the president said and do so blindly, and have his little sinecure in this little grimy office that he had being attended to by a guy who shined his shoes, and a woman, the secretary, who would bring him coffee every so often, and apparently, you know, looking for every opportunity to extort a little bit of money from innocent little journalists like myself.
If you're just joining us, my guest is journalist Sam Quiñones. His new book is called True Tales from Another Mexico. What does Mexico's new president, Vicente Fox, stand for politically?